Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're going to see Daf Mem Gimel, the third parak Hamafkin. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that if one leaves money, it has to be kadon with a money changer. If it's bundled, he may not use it, as the Gemara explains, and is therefore not responsible for their loss. If it's loose, he may use it and is therefore liable for its loss, even if he never uses it. A private homeowner may not use a pikadon of money regardless of its packaging and is therefore not responsible for it. Tanaim argue if a storekeeper is like a money changer or homeowner. Rav Huna says of Fila Ne'ensu, he is liable even if they were lost through an unavoidable mishap because he's like a shoel, a borrower, who has full benefit of the pikadon. Rav Nachman says he is not liable for onsin. Rav asks him if he's not a shoel because his ability to use the money is only potential, he should not be a shomer sachar either since he's not paid to guard the money and should be exempt from any normal loss. Rav Nachman responded that he's partially liable. Since he receives some benefit, he provides some benefit to the owner. The potential right to use the money for an opportunity is like payment for his watching. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hashleach Yad Bikadon, regarding one who misappropriates a deposit. Beis Shammai says, Yilk b'chasu b'yaser, he's stricken both with his decrease and increase in value. Beis Hillel says, Kashas Hosa, he pays like its value at the time of its removal. Rabbah explains that they argue about a pikadon which decrease in value after shlichas yad of the shomer and argue if shlichas yad requires yichisaron. Beis Shammai holds it does not, and so it enters the shomer's possession immediately, and he must pay for its initial higher value. Beis Hillel says shlichas yad requires yichisaron, and it did not enter the shomer's possession until its decrease, so he pays its lower value. Rava holds shlichas yad does not require chisaron, so he ultimately explains the malchukas differently. But shevach shel gazel kemifage, they argue about improvements in stolen goods. Beis Shammai holds they belong to the owner, a decrease referring to a sheep with wool, which was shorn, and increase referring to an animal conceiving. And Beis Hillel holds they belong to the thief, who acquires them with a shinui, a physical change. This reading is supported by the Mishnah's language. And point number three, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva gave a third opinion regarding the liability of shleach yad, kashas hatviya. He pays according to the pikadon's value at the time of the claim in Beis Din. Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel saying the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, and that Rabbi Akiva agrees b'makom sheyesh edim in a case where there are edim who saw the shlichas yad and know the item's value at that time, that he pays according to that earlier value. He explains that Rabbi Akiva's position is based on the pasuk l'asher hu lo yitnenu b'yom hashmaso, he shall give it to whom it belongs on the day of his guilt, teaching that the payment is determined by its value at the time he's found guilty. When witnesses are available, he's already considered guilty then. Rabbi Asi quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying, that Rabbi Akiva argued even when there are edim and says he always pays based on his value when he's found guilty and based him. Rava says the halacha follows Beis Hillel. So once again, the three points are number one. The next Mishnah states that if one leaves money as a pikadon with a money changer, if it's bundled, he may not use it, as the Gemara explains, and is therefore not responsible for their loss. If it's loose, he may use it and is therefore liable for its loss, even if he never uses it. A private homeowner may not use a pikadon of money regardless of its packaging and is therefore not responsible for it. Tanaim argue if a storekeeper is like a money changer or homeowner. Rav Huna says of Fila Ne'ensu, he is liable even if they were lost through an unavoidable mishap because he's like a shoel, a borrower, who has full benefit of the pikadon. Rav Nachman says he is not liable for onsin. Rava asks him if he's not a shoel because his ability to use the money is only potential, he should not be a shomer sachar either since he's not paid to guard the money and should be exempt from any normal loss. Rav Nachman responded that he's partially liable. Since he receives some benefit, he provides some benefit to the owner. The potential right to use the money for an opportunity is like payment for his watching. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hashleach Yad Bikadon, regarding one who misappropriates a deposit. Beis Shammai says, Yilk b'chasu b'yaser, he's stricken both with his decrease and increase in value. Beis Hillel says, Kashas Hosa, he pays like its value at the time of its removal. Rabbah explains that they argue about a pikadon which decrease in value after shlichas yad of the shomer and argue if shlichas yad requires yichisaron. Beis Shammai holds it does not, and so it enters the shomer's possession immediately, and he must pay for its initial higher value. Beis Hillel says shlichas yad requires yichisaron, and it did not enter the shomer's possession until its decrease, so he pays its lower value. Rava holds shlichas yad does not require chisaron, so he ultimately explains the malchukas differently. But shevach shel gazel kemifage, they argue about improvements in stolen goods. Beis Shammai holds they belong to the owner, a decrease referring to a sheep with wool, which was shorn, and increase referring to an animal conceiving. And Beis Hillel holds they belong to the thief, who acquires them with a shinui, a physical change. This reading is supported by the Mishnah's language. And point number three, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva gave a third opinion regarding the liability of Shleach Yad, Kashas Hatviya. He pays according to the Bikadon's value at the time of the claim in Beis Din. Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel saying the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, and that Rabbi Akiva agrees, but Makom Sheish Edim, in a case where there are Edim who saw the Shleach's Yad and know the item's value at that time, that he pays according to that earlier value. He explains that Rabbi Akiva's position is based on the pasuk, "Lasher hulo yitnenu b'yom hashmaso," he shall give it to whom it belongs on the day of his guilt, teaching that the payment is determined by its value at the time he's found guilty. When witnesses are available, he's already considered guilty then. Rabbi Asi quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that Rabbi Akiva argued even when there are edim and says he always pays based on his value when he's found guilty and based him. Rava says the halacha follows Beis Hillel. All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Mem Gimel, and our standard simmon is a magazine. So here goes. The magazine storekeeper, who was excited that the unbundled money left in his watch could be used just like with a money changer, purchased the magazine collector's rare inaugural copy of the Guardian Gazette, whose cover story discussed how much one pays when there is Shlichus Yad, and featured an interview with the rabbi who held the Shomer pays Kishas HaTviya. Once again, slow motion. The magazine storekeeper magazine, that must be Daf Mem Gimel. The magazine storekeeper, who was excited that the unbundled money left in his watch could be used just like with a money changer, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one leaves money, it's to be cut in with the money changer. If it's bundled, he may not use it, as the Gemara explains, and is therefore not responsible for the loss. If it's loose, he may use it and is therefore liable for its loss, even if he never uses it. A private homeowner may not use a pikadon of money regardless of its packaging and is therefore not responsible for it. Tanaim argue if a storekeeper is like a money changer or a homeowner. So the magazine storekeeper, who was excited that the unbundled money left in his watch could be used just like with a money changer, purchased the magazine collector's rare inaugural copy of the Guardian Gazette, whose cover story discussed how much one pays when there is Shlichus Yad, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, HaShlech Yad B'Pikadon, regarding one who misappropriates a deposit. Beis Shammai says, Yilka B'Chas B'Yasir, he is stricken both with its decrease and increase in value. Beis Hillel says, Kashas Hotza, he pays like its value at the time of its removal. Rav explains that they argue about a Pikadon which decreases in value after Shlichus Yad of the Shomer, and argue if Shlichus Yad requires a Chisaron. Beis Shammai holds it does not, and so it enters the Shomer's possession immediately, and he must pay for its initial higher value. Beis Hillel says Shlichus Yad requires a chisaron, and it did not enter the Shomer's possession until its decrease, so he pays its lower value. So the magazine storekeeper, who was excited that the unbundled money left in his watch could be used just like with a money changer, purchased the magazine collector's rare inaugural copy of the Guardian Gazette, whose cover story discussed how much one pays when there is Shlichus Yad, and featured an article with the rabbi who held the Shomer pays Kashas HaTviya, which reminds us, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva gave a third opinion regarding the liability of a Shleach Yad, Kashas HaTviya. He pays according to the Pikadon's value at the time of the claim and based him. Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel saying the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, and the Rabbi Akiva agrees, but Makom Sheish Edim, in a case where there are Edim who saw the Shlichus Yad and know the item's value at that time, that he pays according to that earlier value. So once again, the magazine storekeeper, who was excited that the unbundled money left in his watch could be used just like with a money changer, purchased the magazine collector's rare inaugural copy of the Guardian Gazette, whose cover story discussed how much one pays when there's Shlichus Yad, and featured an interview with the rabbi who held the Shomer pays Kashas HaTviya. All right, so now it's time for four Blah Bach Chazar. Daf Lamedtes. So the Simmer Daf Lamedtes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Simmon. So here goes. The mailman who delivered a letter. Mailman, letter. That must be our Daf Lamedtes. The mailman who delivered a letter to the Karov, taking care of his captive relative's property, that was addressed to the Aries, which reminds us, the Brisa from the previous Daf concluded, B'kun Shamin Lehem Karis, and all those who accept to manage a relative's property, we evaluate the profits for them like a sharecropper's normal share. The Gemara explains that this refers to Netushim, unwillingly abandoned property, meaning a live captive's property, and follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel that such properties have the same law as Shvuyim, properties of captives rumored to have died. So the mailman who delivered a letter to the Karov taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the Aries and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land, lest he ruin it, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, Ein morin katan nichse shvuye. We do not install a katan in a captive's property because he may ruin it. Well, karav nichse katan, nor do we install a relative in a katan's property because since the katan does not know to protest against claims, the relative may come claim it's his share of their joint inheritance. So the mailman who delivered a letter to the karov taking care of his captive relative's property that was addressed to the Aries, and gave the captive's young son a little toy mail truck, since he wasn't allowed to take care of the land, lest he ruin it, stopped to talk to the apotropos of a captive elderly woman's field, who told him that since he was appointed as an apotropos for half the property, he was appointed for the other half as well. Which reminds, the Gemara relates an incident of a safta, of an elderly woman with three daughters. She and one daughter were captured, and another daughter died, leaving behind a young son. Not knowing if the elderly woman was alive, Abai wondered how her property should be managed, and concluded that half the property should be managed by the remaining sister, either as an owner or as a caretaker for the captive, depending on who's alive, and an apotropos is appointed to manage the other half, either for the young boy or the adult owner. Rava said, Migu de Makmina apotropos lepalga, since we appoint an apotropos for half the property, Makmina le apotropos le idach palga, we appoint an apotropos for the other half as well. Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem relates to Mayim, and we use a pool for the Simmon. So here goes. The post-rainy season poolside party pool. That must more on Daf Mem. Mayim. The post-rainy season poolside party was abruptly canceled when the Shomer discovered the supply of chips was devastated by mice, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hamafkid peros eitzel chaver, if one deposits produce with his friend, Arze Yotzi lo chesronos, the Shomer deducts the expected depletion when returning it. After listing the normal rate for several grains, it concludes, Hakol lefi hamida, it's all proportional according to the amount, Hakol lefi hazman, and it's all according to the length of time of the pikadon, meaning it's deducted yearly. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, what do the mice care about the volume of produce? They eat the same amount regardless of the total volume. Rather, deductions are only taken from a single core. So the post-rainy season poolside party was abruptly canceled when the Shomer discovered the supply of chips was devastated by mice. The barrel holding a large quantity of corn kernels for the popcorn burst when it expanded, which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, Imaisa mida maruba, if the pikadon was a large quantity, eno motzi lo chesronos, he does not deduct any depletions, mipnei shemosiros, because the produce expands by absorbing moisture in the rainy season enough to make up for the depletion. Well, Papa asked the Abai that if grain expands to such a degree, a barrel filled with grain and sealed should burst when it expands. The Gemara responds that there was indeed an incident in which a barrel burst. So the post-rainy season poolside party was abruptly canceled when the Shomer discovered the supply of chips was devastated by mice. The barrel holding a large quantity of corn kernels with the popcorn burst when it expanded, and someone had mixed the shemarim back into the oil for the fryer, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists deductions taken from deposited liquids, including the settling of shmarim, sediments in oil. Rav Yehuda says, Afa mocher shem mezuka lechavero kol yimos hashana, even one who sells refined oil to his friend for the whole year, meaning he commits to supply him with oil for a year and gives him refined oil, the buyer accepts upon himself 1.5 logim of shmarim for every 100 logim he purchases. Abai explains the Malchus, Rabbi Yehuda holds mutter lav shmarim, it's permitted for the seller to mix settled sediment back into the pure oil, since the buyer did not specify refined oil. The Rabban hold is forbidden for a seller to mix shmarim back into the oil, so the buyer does not accept any deductions in the oil. Daf Mem Olive, so the Simon Daf Mem Olive is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be on Daf Mem Olive. The grandma who'd taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous stuff taught that if one left a keg with his friend without designating a place for it, and the Shomer moved it and broke it through an onus, he's only chayev if he had not put it back and had moved it for his own purposes, which is like stealing it. The Mishnah then says that if the owner did designate a place for his keg, the Shomer is responsible for moving it for his own purposes, even after putting it down. So the grandma who'd taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot and was surprised because she hadn't actually taken any, which reminds us, Rav and Levi argue of shrichas yad shrichas chisaron, misappropriation of a pikadon requires a partial loss for the shomer to be liable. So the grandma who'd taken the jar of jam she was supposed to be watching for her knitting partner to take some for herself was liable when it broke on its own because she put it down in a different place from its designated spot and was surprised because she hadn't actually taken any, which her grandson patiently explained to her was because of the extra pasuk of Shrichas Yad, which reminds us, having established the Levi hold, Shrichas Yad does not require a loss. The Gemara asks for a source. Yochanan explains, the Torah wrote the law of Shrichas Yad both regarding a Shomer Chinam and regarding a Shomer Sachar. Levi holds, since it applies to a Shomer Chinam, who is only chai for negligence, it certainly applies to a Shomer Sachar who is liable for theft and loss, and its mention there is superfluous. Rather, it's written to teach that Shrichas Yad is liable even without any loss. Rabbi Yochanan himself holds it's not superfluous because a Shomer Chinam has a stringency to pay kafel if he swears falsely that the Pikadon was stolen, as opposed to a Shomer Sakhru who's liable for theft. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Beis. The mobster who safeguarded the boss's money by bundling it up in his hand, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one deposited money with his friend, Sraron, Yipshilon, Achrav, if he bundled it up and slung it behind him or handed it to his young child and did not lock the door adequately before them, he's chai because he did not guard it as Shomrim normally do. But if he guarded it in the normal manner of Shomrim, he's pater. So the mobster who safeguarded the boss's money by bundling it up in his hand, unaware that in the silo behind him was grain hidden from the eye that was increasing from bracha, which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak said, in a bracha metzuyah el bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. Bracha is only found in that which is hidden from the eye. As the pasuk says, Yitzav Hashem itcha as a bracha ba'asamecha. Hashem will command the blessing to be with you in your silos. Ba'asamecha, in your silos, hinting to samui, hidden. Rashi says, this refers to produce increasing in quantity on its own. So the mobster who safeguarded the boss's money by bundling it up in his hand, unaware that in the silo behind him was grain hidden from the eye that was increasing from bracha, tried not to be noticed when the toothless ox he sold to an apotropos, which was then given to a herdsman, died from starvation, which reminds us. The Gemara relates an incident in which an apotropos for orphans purchased an ox for them and left it with the herdsman. The ox lacked teeth and died from starvation. Rami Bar Chama wondered who might be chayev. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldthorpe from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.